Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This early point in Jesus' ministry, Matthew chapter 5, very early on there, the scribes and the Pharisees had not yet been established as Jesus' chief opponents. John the Baptizer, back earlier in the Gospel, did call them out when they went forward to be baptized by him at the Jordan. That's really our only exposure to them thus far in Matthew's Gospel. And to the common Jew there in Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees were elevated. They were surpassing that of the average Jew. They were honored, they were respected. Now, in any such situation, when you have a mixed group of people gathered, a righteously acting person can be viewed normally in one of two ways. They can be looked up to by those who are below and are aspiring to their own greatness, or they can be torn down by those who are also below, but who wish not to emphasize the good things that need to be done. Nevertheless, Jesus' word in his gospel for today can be quite frightening when we hear those words. Who could be more righteous than the Pharisees and the scribes? Or, today perhaps, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, or other evangelical Christians. Such a task is daunting. To surpass them in righteousness, and in to Jesus' point, that is impossible. Thankfully, these verses follow after the opening of the Sermon on the Mount, which are the Beatitudes. These statements of blessing serve as the doorway, the entrance into the sermon. And you enter then into discipleship of Jesus through the gospel, through his saving work and his gifts to you. You don't enter into his kingdom through the law. This comes out well in the Concordia Commentary series on this gospel. This needs to be seen then in the light of the gospel. These words of Jesus from our lesson today, and this truly is then a game changer for us as we view these words. Again, the follower of Christ has already been saved. Saved by God's choosing, by his blessing, by faith in Jesus. What follows then in the Sermon on the Mount is instruction to the follower of Jesus, not to those who wish to become followers of Jesus. Now, just before this text, but after the Beatitudes, we find words of Jesus that seem to address this issue of what can be often called cheapening of Christ's grace. And that thinking can flow from the very fact of that of our forgiveness of all sins, so that we then think what we do now, if we're forgiven, does not really matter. Such is never the thinking of the Scriptures. Such is never the desire of God for his people. Christ has set you free from sin. Christ has not set you free to sin. Jesus told his disciples that they are the salt of the earth we have in this Sermon on the Mount. So they are meant to do what salt does, to season. And here to season the earth. In other words, their presence as Jesus' disciples in this life is meant to make a difference. God's people have a clear view of his word, of law, and of gospel. And so God's people, including you and me, gathered today, we need to clearly teach and state what God's law says. Jesus himself says, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." If Christians were not meant to be concerned for this created world and what goes on here, then Jesus' Sermon on the Mount should have ended with the Beatitudes. But the Sermon on the Mount does not end with the Beatitudes, and Christians are to be concerned with this world and what takes place therein, all within reason, of course. And that is where the guidance of the gospel is so valuable, so important for us as Christians. And what Lutherans have come to use in order to help understand this dual existence is what is called the two kinds of righteousness. And those two kinds are simple, passive and active. Passive righteousness first, it is essentially the gospel. It is righteousness that is handed down to you, given over to you, and received then by you. You do nothing to earn it. You do nothing to merit it, much like the baptism that took place this morning. Milo didn't come to me and ask, didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. He simply was brought and thus received the gifts of life and salvation. So passive righteousness is that righteousness of the Lord Jesus himself given to you as his people. This is what Luther really came to discover in his exploration of the Word of God. From Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." The very act of that salvation from Romans 1:16, that of the gospel, is the suffering, the death, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very payment for all of our sins. And if you recall, Jesus' words to John the Baptizer earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus said it was necessary for John to baptize Jesus to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was to be like you and me, all people in every way, yet without sin. And with the ability as a full human being to sin, Jesus would not. He would maintain his perfect righteousness as the Son of God. And that righteousness then he would offer up as he was the perfect man that none of us could ever be. That selfless act has gained us entrance into God's kingdom, eternal life. And the righteousness of Jesus is then given to us, declared to us by God through his word and through his church. All who believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. You receive that righteousness of Jesus in holy baptism, as did Milo this morning, and Major Will in just a few moments later on in the next service. And again, that righteousness is given to you time and time again as forgiveness in the Lord's Supper itself. That is passive righteousness. All this done for you and given to you by God, never earned. Active righteousness is where the Sermon on the Mount then comes in, including the gospel reading for today. Jesus has indeed come into this world to give over to you his own righteousness, thus saving you from sin and eternal death. But he has not come to get rid of the law. He has not come to make God's law obsolete. For God's law is always good. It is his word. There's no exceptions there. And we know that God cannot make mistakes. He makes no errors. So that all that he has commanded, past, present, and future, is good, it is right, and it is true. As a result, then, the law remains in your life, even as a Christian, one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And you need the presence of the law in your life as it guides you in that life as a follower of Christ. It shows you that way to live. You are, as Jesus said, salt of the earth. Your life as a Christian flavors this world around you. This world so desperately needs you as its salt. Because of the righteousness given to you by Christ, you are then to act out that righteousness for the sake of others around you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, they all need your active righteousness. They need you to do your jobs and to do your vocations to the best of your ability. They also need you to keep God's commandments. Every jot and iota, as the beginning part of Matthew 5 indicates. And if you don't, your neighbor suffers for it, as the ones from whom you steal, you cheat, you lie, you hate. In the same way you suffer when they don't keep those commandments as well. Now Christ has set you free from the burdens of the law. He is indeed your entrance into eternal life, your security there forever. And your keeping of the law, then, of God's commands, is not to merit salvation. We've already covered that. We've already established it. And it isn't even to show God you are still worthy of His grace and His blessing. But rather, your keeping of God's law is simple. It is what you do now as His people. His act of His commands, His people responding to what He has said. Jesus' words here of warning and of reward are there for the crowds to ponder, the disciples of Jesus there to meditate upon, for you and me as well to wrestle with in our day-to-day lives. Jesus says, very intentionally, very clearly, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So, do good. Obey God's law. Love God. Honor His name. Worship Him and study His word. Honor your parents and other authorities. Do not kill or hate your neighbor. Do not have sex with anyone who is other than your husband or your wife. Do not take what does not belong to you, belongs to someone else. Do not speak false things against your neighbor or anyone else. Do not desire to take from your neighbor what is his or hers. Do what God has given you to do in your vocations, your stations in life, His calling for you. This is good. It is right. It's okay. It's your active righteousness. The key is not to think that this righteousness saves you. Do not allow your active righteousness to take the place of passive righteousness. For indeed, your actions do indeed help your neighbor, but it gains you no favor before God. For our Lord Jesus Christ has done all of that for you already, and He gives you His righteousness as a gift. So, will your active righteousness ever exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees? That's what Jesus says must happen. But the answer is no, not ever. Your works are ruined by sin from the very get-go. And the same really is true for the scribes and Pharisees as well. And so Jesus' point is made. You cannot attain righteousness by yourself, not in one little bit. It must be given to you. And that is what Jesus has done. He alone in His righteousness has given you His own righteousness. For that is truly the righteousness of God. What is needed by all to be in His presence forever. And so through the very gospel of Jesus, in baptism, the Lord's Supper, the means of grace, tangible forms of God's own forgiveness, Jesus there gives you His righteousness. No strings attached. It's yours. It's in your midst. It's in your possession even now. And that righteousness, which is that of Christ, far exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And Jesus' righteousness has gained you entrance into God's kingdom, and it has gained you eternal residence in that kingdom. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.